Welcome to this session where we're going to speak about baptism. It's wonderful to spend some time with you. And when we speak about this topic, we need to just frame it in the larger sense. We are busy exploring, just understanding ourselves and our identity. And when we speak about salvation, you know, where God comes and he brings us into his family through adopting us, we start to see, you know, us being transformed by God into his family. And baptism is an integral part of that. So when you and I come and we start to grapple with this, it is something that God has already started in eternity. And now we are seeing it play out, how you and I are transformed from one place to another, coming into the family of God. And, you know, we have this problem of sin and struggles of life that happens, but God saves us from it all. And when you and I start to speak about this, God gives us a new purpose in life. He just gives us a new identity. And this is where this module is really important, because part of our new identity is something that happens inside of us. And we're going to speak about that through this module. So this new identity that you and I have, when we speak about baptism, I know that there's a lot of things that come up in our hearts. Because when we speak about baptism, it's sometimes a really controversial issue. You know, especially from us coming from different church backgrounds, then you and I understand the fact that some people see baptism different than others. And we will get into that as we go. The two main subjects that we cover in this is the big word for that is pedo-baptism, which is infant baptism or sometimes called christening. And the other one is credo-baptism. Okay, so that is where the believers are baptized. When you are older, when you understand what you're doing, that is credo baptism. And those are the two things that we are going to speak about. But we want to get to the heart of baptism itself. All right, so it is an outward identification or something that you do outwardly that is a symbolic action of something that is happening on the inside of you. Right? So when we speak about this, we publicly affirm that we identify with Christ and his mission. Now, usually when I speak to people about this, you get to a place where it's you and I in summertime, like it's now here with us, it's hot. And you and I jump into the pool every day when we can in the summer. And there's no issues with that. But have you asked yourself the question, why, when you decide to go into a pool and you decide to get baptized, now all of a sudden you've got this massive issue that is coming from all sides, which is not supposed to be like that, but it happens. You know, maybe there's something that is greater that happens in the spirit, in your life, than just you going into the water and being baptized. So those are the questions that I usually ask when we discuss this topic. What I want you guys to understand as well is that baptism, when we see in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2, there's a part where we see the writer of Hebrews saying the doctrine of baptisms, all right? So I'm going to speak about a couple of baptisms that happen that we can find through Scripture. And the first one is this baptism, which is the believer's baptism that happens when you and I decide, okay, we want to follow Christ and we are going to get baptized. Now, just to give a little bit of context regarding this, nothing happens in isolation in this world, okay? So all of us are framed in this world on a certain way with the people around us. You fit into a context, you know, you fit into something. There's a place where you and I are part of society, and your identity and my identity is very much locked into the whole spectrum of the community. No one is an island, okay? You cannot be, even apart from this whole world, going into this place of everybody's individual and you are so special, which you are. But the context is important. So when you and I listen to just the community and what do they express or experience, then you and I fit into that place. And sometimes it's about your peer group, And I've seen this a lot of times, you know, when your identity is not firm in Christ, somewhere in your life, there's something that happened, and now you find people that they relate easily to older people, or maybe sometimes they relate easily to younger people, but when they come to their peer group, because of lies in their identity, they struggle to connect with their peer group. You know, and that is when you and I identify ourselves, then it happens in a social setting. And you and I need to know that. So the same thing with the family of God. You know, it's a social place that we walk into. It's a family. You know, it's not just individual, not individualistic. And when we speak about baptism, this is what happens. You and I do something that expresses something on the inside that has happened to the world outside. And that is the place of contextualization of identity that happens there. But more of that a little bit later. What does baptism mean? The word bapto, it means to dip or to immerse. And usually when I think about this, you take something, right? You put it into something else, you baptizo it, and then a change occurs. So for instance, if you've got your mother's white wedding dress and you take a bottle of Lady Di, those nice red dye, and you put it in a bucket and you put the dye in there. If you take your mother's white wedding dress and you baptizo it into that Lady Di, you know, you take a white thing, you put it in there, and then there will be a change that occurs. That is the thought that comes to mind when you and I, you know, get baptized. Take something, put it into something else, and then a change occurs. Now, you know, in the old days, we have lost a lot of the understanding of the culture of that day when Jesus lived. You know, baptism wasn't something that was weird, you know. Baptism was something that happened, you know, on a regular basis. They just called it ritual washing, all right? So the ritual washing happened, you know, to cleanse yourself, but it wasn't something that was, you know, because you stink, now you have to wash yourself. No, it was a religious thing that happened to purify yourself because you know you're going to a holy God. So it's not to cleanse yourself on the outside because, and I mean, that wasn't the point. The point was, because I know I'm going to a holy God, there's something that I need to do so that I can become in right standing with this holy God that I'm going to. And then another word that might sound difficult for us is it's a cultic rite. Okay, so it's something, it's not a cult, you know, where it's just an intimate part of worship that you do. That's what a cultic rite is. So when you worship God, it's an intimate thing that you do with God. And that is what this baptism is when we come to it. So it's an intimate place of worship that we do. But baptism is ultimately an outward symbol or a ritual by which we are positioning ourselves in society on the basis of a new personal inner reality. We are now followers of Christ. Okay, so with that in mind, something that we can relate a lot better to in today's day and age is taking a husband and a wife when they get married. So when you and your wife come, or the other way around, you want to get married, there's a place where you go into the church, right? The husband stands in front, he waits for his wife, and then there's a lot of rituals, you know, and you can say cultic rites that happen while she's coming. So she's coming down the aisle, and then there's vows that are made, there are rings that are exchanged. It's all symbolism towards something that is making seismic shifts on the inside of that couple. So that couple is expressing to the outward world something that is very deep, that is happening. They are actually saying, you know, my singleness is going out the window. From this day forward, because of what has been said and done here, we are now husband and wife. We are connected to one another. And that is the same understanding that we should have with baptism. So it's something, an outward thing that we are doing, but that just symbolism is very powerful on the inside, because now you are making seismic shifts of something that has been this way, but now because you follow Christ, it shifts to this place where you declare to everybody that I follow Christ and his mission. And I declare it to the spiritual world and to the people that are there. And this is what I'm doing. I'm following him. Now, when we read scripture in Romans 6, verse 1 to 11. That's a portion of scripture where we find where Paul writes, and it's in this context of this new person that we're becoming, you know, the sin problem, and God has dealt with the sin problem, giving Jesus as our substitute, and you and I believe in him. And then from there on, we find this passage here in Romans 6, and I read it to us. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who die to sin live in it any longer? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we who might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be slaves of sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again, and death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. So, you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus.
Take 10 minutes to reflect on and discuss this session's key Bible passage together with others in your class. If you are watching on your own, take a few minutes to reflect on the key Bible passage by yourself.
All right, so that scripture gives us a great insight into what happens when we get baptized. You know, it's something that you and I, you can't go and hang on a cross because you will die, okay? But the fact of the matter is that you and I were dead in our sins. But Christ Jesus, through his death and his blood that was shed for us, he died for us and he became our substitute. Now we've spoken about that in previous sessions. So Christ is substituted for us, and he takes our sin and our penalty on him as that substitution. But then in that same place, we are substituted and we receive his righteousness and his life because of what he has done. Now, when he takes our sin and our we take his righteousness, we share in what Jesus has done. And now Romans 6 comes in and says, this is what happens when you get baptized. It's kind of like a movie trailer, okay? So in a movie trailer, you don't watch the full movie, but you just get snippets and you see, wow, I want to watch this movie because it looks like it's going to be something. The same thing happens when we get baptized. We take a snippet, which is a symbolic act, where we express exactly what Jesus has done. So we come and we enter into the water, understanding by faith that what Jesus has done. You and I come, and now we say, I follow Jesus and his mission. But now coming to this water of baptism, I'm going under the water, and symbolically, I'm just saying that I am dying. So I'm dying with Christ, so that when I come up from the water, I can live with Christ as well. So when you and I get baptized, that is what we do. And that is something that really excites me. You know, Paul writes in another place in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All right, so for just the danger of stating the obvious, but I need to just say this. There's the other way as well, where it's not the symbolic act that saves you, all right? So there's an inner reality that must precede the outer symbol that happens in us. Okay, so you and I need to have come to that place where we give our lives to Jesus. We need to express that change of heart where you and I come and see, okay, but this is, you know, what I want to do with my life is I want to give it to Jesus. I want to follow him for what he has done for me. And then after that, you and I come to the place of baptism, declaring something that has happened on the inside. Now, again, when we get baptized, it's not a declaration of perfection. Okay? You and I will still be sinful. You and I will still make mistakes sometimes. But it's a declaration of the inner reality that I know that I'm following Christ and I am on my way to being saved. Ultimately, when Jesus comes back or when I die. But I'm on my way to being saved, but I'm declaring this to the realms outside. So when we speak about baptism as an infant or as an adult, then we need to interpret scripture in certain ways. You know, you and I, we are built with a worldview that comes through culture. It comes with the things that we believe, comes with the things that we've been taught. You know, so you and I have got a worldview. And what makes worldview so powerful is that is a framework. You know, there's a framework, kind of like a Lego set or a Meccano set, whatever you want to build. Then you build a framework for the Death Star or some car that you're building. You know, the framework's there and all the other blocks and stuff, they need to go into this framework. So when you and I build the structure, you know, the big framework, aka our worldview, determines where the blocks will go. So when you and I come to this challenge, you know, and it happens in our life a lot, I usually say to people, never waste a good storm. You know, sometimes there's storms in our life, you know, your finances are down the drain, or your marriage might be in trouble, or your kids are. Anyway, then we ask stupid questions sometimes. And then I say to people, don't waste a good storm. Because a good storm in your and my life, it brings us to that place where you and I, we start to question the framework. When it goes well and everything's fine, we never question the framework. You know, we just say, where must this block go? Where is it? That's why many people have got life-changing experiences when they go through a crisis. Because when there's a crisis, now all of a sudden, you take a step back and you are willing to look at the framework of your worldview and say, hey, maybe I should have made it different. Maybe I should have shifted it a little bit to this way. So when we speak about baptism, our framework and our worldview and the things that we read in scripture will be determined by that. And we need to understand that. You know, so the pedo just baptism, when you do christening or that, when people read scripture, they will read in a certain way and they will connect it to the Old Testament, where God is the one that's reaching out to us in his grace. And as he's doing that, he says, I love you and I want you in my family. Okay? So that is the connection. And then you get the connection where the circumcision is the is being replaced from the Old Testament to the New then by baptism according to that view. Okay, and we obviously hold to the credo baptism view, which is you need to be a disciple of Christ first. So we interpret it through what Christ has done and the things that has been said through the New Testament that you need to understand. You need to be a disciple that's able to follow. And when you follow and decide that you want to follow, then you go and you get baptized. So whenever we read scripture from that point of view, that will be where we fit in the block. So just to understand that is really, really important. Now, when disciples get baptized, you know, those that are of reasonable age that can understand, they are the ones that need to get baptized. So can a baby understand what he's doing? No, he can't. But the interpretation of the worldview is one that comes, you know, it's about covenant. It's about the covenant of God. And I've come to a place, and I'll tell you a couple of stories later on. I've come to a place where I understand both types of views. But here's one concerning fact for me when it comes to infant baptism. Because I come across it a lot, especially at funerals. You know, at funerals, when there's not certainty that the people know that that person that has just died really knew Christ, then they would go and stand and say, but they have been baptized. So we can know that God in his grace accepted them into his family. And that is very concerning for me. One day while I was teaching the session, one older gentleman stood up and he said, you know what, Deval? I had this question and God came and he just revealed to me, he said, when Satan wants us, you know, in a certain way deceived, then he makes us understand that baptism, you know, saves us, because he can come against a covenant signed in water every day of the week. But a covenant signed by the blood of Christ, he's got no chance. So I can understand why he goes in there and people think that they're okay because of that. And that's a massive deception. But that is not what all people hold dear. Even those people holding on to an infant baptism view. I've got a lot of friends that know that that is not the truth. But it is something that needs to be said, because it is something that is really detrimental in eternity for some people if they think that they are saved because of just being baptized. So, concluding this session, when baptism is this outward sacred symbol, then you and I need to move to that place where we understand, I have been saved by the grace of God, and Jesus has done everything for me on the cross. But now, when I am willing to follow him, so whenever that is, for some of us, it takes years to get baptized. For other people, it's a bit quicker. But actually, if you read scripture, you know, you find being saved and being baptized being very close together, in the New Testament at least. So when you reframe your worldview, maybe, or are struggling with questions like this, go and read scripture again. Read the New Testament and go to all the places where people get saved. And then let the Holy Spirit minister to you and say, but God, I want to do this. You know, we've got the story where the Holy Spirit speaks to Philip and he says, listen, go to this place. There's an Ethiopian eunuch. He is traveling back to Ethiopia. And I want you to go and speak to him. So he goes there and this guy is speaking, or he's reading in Isaiah. And then he asks him, do you understand what you are reading? He says, no, I can understand if somebody's not going to interpret it for me. And then he, starting with that scripture, he starts to explain Christ to him. And then when he's done all of that, that Ethiopian says, but here's some water. What is holding me back from getting baptized? And then he got out of his chariot and he got baptized right there. So he got explained the scripture. He understood what happened, that Christ has died for him in his place, in his stead. And then when he understood that, he got saved. And he said, okay, but here's water. What is preventing me from getting baptized? So when we speak a little bit further in the next sessions, this is the groundwork that needs to be laid so that we can understand what we are doing when we get baptized. That is a significant happening. It's something that you declare to the spiritual realm and to the people around you of an inner reality that has happened already in your heart. And Jesus is amazing. When you and I go through that place and we start to say to this world and to the spiritual realm that we want to follow him, that is an experience that is really out of this world. And it's something that you can only see many times on the other side. It's kind of like a light switch that you put on in a room. You know, if you walk into a dark room, you don't know the room, then you're bumping against everything, you know, and you're finding the coffee table with your shin and all that. You don't know what's going on. But then if you find the light switch and you put it on, it's like, oh, so that was that and that. And the same thing in a certain way in baptism. You know, it's something that when you've done it, then it's kind of like all of these things fall into place. And you say, oh, so this is what it actually entails. It's something that you experience because it's an experiential thing that you do as you know that you are following Christ with your whole heart. And now you're just expressing it through an outward symbol of something that has happened on the inside of you. The Lord bless you.
Take 15 minutes to reflect on and discuss the following points together with others in your class. If you are watching on your own, take a few minutes to reflect on the points by yourself. You can find the discussion points in your Bible school handbook. Look out for the Living the Word sections in each session.